most important journey that we see Paul make in Acts, the 9th chapter, on the road to Damascus.
Well, that's not...
Oh, good. My animations aren't going to work this morning. Okay. If you would, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 9. That's where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning. Acts chapter 9, and we'll read the first couple verses here. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. We see here that it says Saul is still breathing threats of murder. And we're first introduced to Saul in Acts the 7th chapter in verse 58. We see he is present at the stoning of Stephen. And in the beginning of Acts the 8th chapter, we see that Saul approves of the execution of Stephen there. And that he begins to ravage the church is what the ESV says. And he's persecuting Christians in Jerusalem. And he's spending a great deal of his time doing that. And we see that now he's so dedicated to this persecution of Christians that he is looking for authority to go outside of Jerusalem to do this, to go to, all the way to Damascus in order to persecute followers of Jesus. Yep. There's nothing there. Okay. But Saul's goal in doing this was not simply to harm these people. We see in Acts the 22nd chapter, when he is giving his defense before Hebrews in Jerusalem as they're arresting him, in Acts 22, he begins by saying in verse 3, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. And when he's talking about this in Acts, the 26th chapter, when he's telling this story again to a different audience, he says that he not only bound Christians and put them in prison, but that whenever they were going to be put to death, he cast his vote against them. So Saul may not have actually murdered anyone, but he was definitely in favor of Christians being killed. And it wasn't just because he wanted to hurt people. It was because he wanted to serve God. He says he was zealous for God. And that was his goal in doing this, was to serve the Lord. He was very deeply convicted about the law of Moses, the things that he'd been taught, the things that he grew up learning. He was dedicated to the Lord. He was zealous, and he was a radical Jew. And he was seeking to punish anybody who was opposed to what he had been taught, anybody who was opposed to the Lord and his law and his ways. And he believed that the Christians were blaspheming God by following Christ. And so he made it his mission to put that to an end. He wanted the blaspheming of God to stop. Now, he wasn't right about that, as we see, but it's important to understand Paul's background and his goal in doing this, and his zeal for God, because it wasn't just to harm other people. Saul wasn't that kind of person. It was to serve the Lord. And in Acts the 9th chapter, picking back up in verse 3, we see it says this, Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Saul had caught God's attention. He'd been doing a lot of work in his persecution. He was staying busy with that. Still not working. And you know what's interesting is that nobody else besides God, based on the things that Saul was doing and that he was clearly dedicated to, nobody else would have thought that Saul would believe in Christ. Nobody else would have sought to try to convert him. In fact, when people heard the name Saul, they ran away. They went to go hide. They didn't want to die. But Saul had his heart in the right place. His heart was to serve God. And that's what his zeal was for. And God knew Saul's heart. Nobody else did. But God knew. And that's why in Acts 9 we see he chooses to talk with him. And I think it's very interesting here that Jesus only appeared to Saul. Saul was the only one who saw him. Now, these other men that were with him, they heard him, but they didn't see anything. They didn't see a light. They probably thought Saul was crazy. And Jesus appearing to Saul made it possible for him to be an apostle. Because without that, he couldn't have been. Now, there were people who saw Jesus who weren't apostles. But without seeing Jesus, Saul never could have become one. And so this intervention that occurs here, I think serves, it's very beneficial to him in a lot of ways, but specifically being made blind was beneficial to him. And I don't think that we always consider that when we read this story. We don't always think about that as a big part of it. We just say, yeah, he was blind for 3 days and then he wasn't. But specifically in a couple of ways, I think his blindness was beneficial to him for these 3 days. The first being that it was very humbling for Saul. Now, his heart might have been in the right place, serving God, but I have to imagine that as he was going about doing these things, and especially with his background, he was a man of prominence. And pride probably played a big part in a lot of the decisions that he made and some of the things that he did. But when he was blind, he was suddenly dependent on everybody else for everything. He couldn't see where he was going. He couldn't get his own food. And he couldn't rebel out of pride so easily because he needed these other people to help him. And suddenly, Saul was in a position that he was probably never in before. He was helpless. He had led a privileged life. He had studied under some of the most prominent Pharisees in Jerusalem. He was himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. But now he can't do anything for himself. And he's been told by Jesus that what he's doing is wrong. And how is he supposed to argue with that? And the second thing I think that was made this very beneficial to him was that it eliminated all distractions for him. Now, even if he had received this message from God, from Jesus, and not been blind, he could have decided to go to Damascus but not persecute the Christians there. He could have changed his mind. But he wouldn't have been brought low. And he could have changed his mind initially, and then when he got there, decided that he was going to follow through with those orders and hurt those people. But when he was blind, the only thing he could focus on, the only thing he could think about, was what Jesus had said to him. and he had to wait to find out what he was supposed to do about that. I think that's something else that's very interesting. Jesus doesn't just tell him what his purpose is going to be. He doesn't just tell him what's going on. He says, go to Damascus, and then somebody will tell you what to do. Saul, at this point, is totally dependent on God and everybody else. He can't do anything for himself. And he had a lot to think about because he was confronted by the truth. He was faced with the truth. And what he had believed was the truth up to that point, he's beginning to find out is no longer something that he should be convicted about and hold to. When you received the message of salvation, when you heard the gospel, how long did you think about that for? How long did you consider it, whether it was true or not? Did you search the scriptures and study it for yourself to find out if what you were being taught was true? And if you're just now hearing it, follow Saul's example. Spend some time seriously considering whether this is what you need to believe and follow or not. Everyone has to make that decision for themselves. We can't ride each other's coattails to heaven. We can't hold on to the nearest faithful person and hope that they'll take us with them. We have to figure out for ourselves whether we're convicted about this. Because it's really serious stuff. Continuing in Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 10, it says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may gain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. One of the first choices that Saul makes here when he gets to Damascus is to pray. How often do we pray? Do we seriously consider and bring before God the choices that we have before us, the dilemmas that we're in? Saul showed how important this was to him by bringing this before God, by spending some time with him in prayer. Because he couldn't read, so he couldn't go back and look through the scriptures to see if what was happening was true, if there was something that he had missed. But chances are, because of Saul's training and upbringing, that he had memorized the scriptures. And I think what he was doing here was looking and finding out that what he had believed was not totally true, and that he didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah. And so to him, he wasn't. But as he was humbled, as he was brought low before God, and his distractions were eliminated, and he had these 3 days to consider this, he was discovering in his time with God that he had been faced with the truth, and that he had to choose what it was he was going to believe. I think Ananias is a very interesting character. He's a very interesting man because If a lot of us, you know, put yourself in his shoes for a minute. If somebody told you to go to the nearest prison and find the man who was a mass murderer of Christians, who had been arrested and put there for assault and battery or murder, but the only people that he hurt were people who believed in God, who made it known that they believed in God. And somebody tells you to go and try to convert that person, to talk to them. What would you do? I hate to say it, but I think I'd be very hesitant to do that. Because we all have this sense of self-preservation. You know, we believe that we're going to heaven. We believe that if we die, we'll be okay. At least I hope that you will be. But we still don't want to die. And so with this possibility that that could happen, when you go to do this, what would your choice be? I feel like a lot of us, we'd play it safe. We'd minimize the risk. Stay at home. Sorry, God, not me. Wrong guy. Find somebody else. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to stay in our church bubble. He doesn't want us to stay in our comfort zone. Because in your comfort zone, you can't grow. You can't experience the things that you need to. God said he was going to show Saul how much he must suffer for his sake, for the sake of Jesus. And we don't have to go through nearly the amount of suffering today that the first century Christians did. But there are some things that are unpleasant for us to go through because we are Christians. And there are just parts of life that aren't really pleasant. And if we stay in our comfort zone our whole lives, I don't think God is going to be satisfied with that. I don't think he's going to be pleased with that. We have to have zeal. We have to trust him. And see, that's what Ananias did. He could have stayed at home. There were other Christians in Damascus. And Ananias could have trusted that God would find somebody else and that this would be done, and he wouldn't have to worry about it. But instead, he trusted God to protect him. He trusted that what God was telling him to do was the best thing. Even though he had heard so many terrible things about this man and that he was probably concerned for his own safety, he went. And that was a choice that Ananias made. God didn't make him go. He didn't force him to do that. And when he comes to him, when he comes to Saul, Saul makes his own choice. He chooses to obey. God didn't force that on him. Now, he showed him the truth. He confronted him in hope that he would be convicted about that. But we all have free will. We can all choose what it is that we believe and what we do. And Saul and Ananias, they made the right choice. They chose to trust in God. They chose to follow him. And it wasn't because they felt pressured to do that. It was because they had a real trust and a real faith in God, and they had zeal for him. Their desire was for him, for his work, for his service. And if we have that zeal, and if we meet other people who have that zeal, and their desire is for the truth, what they want to do is what's right. The truth will change them. We have the truth here in this book. All of it. Everything we ever need to know to be with God and to be pleasing to him. And I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to really become familiar with that. To search it. To study it. To become convicted about it. don't take my word for it. Don't take Scott's word for it. Don't take Mike's word for it. If you listen to a lesson or a preacher or someone in a pulpit, and they're telling you things that maybe you're not so certain about, or even if you think you're certain about, search the Scriptures. See if the things that they're saying, that we're saying, are true. Because nothing that I say, if it's not backed up by this book, it's not going to help you. It's not going to save you. And if you're not convicted by the Word of God, if you can read this and you can understand it and know what it means and what it means that you have to do, and you're not convicted about that, I can't help you. Nothing that I say is going to change your mind. The Word of God is the most important thing that we have in our possession. I think we take it for granted far too often. If we've got a real zeal for God, if what we want is the truth, then we should be spending time in the truth. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are zealous, who have good hearts in the world, who are looking for the truth, and they find other zealous people who are misdirected. And that's how you get a lot of denominational people who have good hearts and really putting us to shame in terms of evangelism. There are a lot of people out there who are really active, but they're confused about what's right, what the truth is. But they're zealous. And we need to learn from Saul's zeal. Because zeal needs direction, and direction needs zeal. If we have zeal without the truth, we have nothing. But if we have the truth and no zeal, people aren't drawn to that. We're not going to win souls that way. And we're not going to be convicted that way. Ask yourself this morning, do you actually believe this? Or have you been told to believe it? Do you love God? Do you want to do what's right? Or have you just been told that that's what you should do and you never really questioned it? I'm not going to discourage anybody from investigating the truth, from investigating other religions. Because all they'll find, if their heart is right, is that this is it. And that's what we need to be following. And that is what we need to obey. Brethren, we've got the best thing that has ever been given to men in our possession, right at our fingertips. Why aren't we excited about that? Why aren't we zealous about that? Don't keep it to yourself. The message in this book has the power to change hearts and to save souls. And unfortunately, a lot of times we treat it like it's a chore to spread that message to people. We should want to do that every minute of every day with everybody that we meet. Because chances are, those people don't know the truth. And if they do, then they'll just agree with you. We've got to start trying to help people. We've got to have this zeal that Saul had, because we've got the direction. We know which way we're supposed to go. We know what's right. Let's get excited about that. VBS is a great opportunity to show that zeal and to bring other people in and to let them see that what we believe, that's the truth. And that we're excited to share that with them and that we're excited to follow that. Saul allowed the truth to change him. And good hearts, when they're confronted by the truth, they change. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are trying to change God's word to suit what their heart wants. But that's not what we've been called to do. And a heart seeking the truth will change when confronted by it. And if you're not convicted by the truth, then your heart has to change. God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. It remains the same. It's always powerful. It's always true. And we've got to choose how we feel about that. We've got to choose what we're going to do about that. Are we going to live the truth? Are we going to show people Jesus in our lives? Are we going to point the way to Him? We've got a lot to learn from Saul, or Paul, as we'll probably be referring to him the rest of the week. And fortunately, we've got at least 5 opportunities this week to learn specifically from his life and from the things that he taught and the things that he did. This isn't just for kids. It's for adults too. It's for everybody. The truth is one size fits all. So invite people to come. Make the decision to come yourself. Be here. Learn. Be changed. Scott's going to talk tonight about some of the more specific characteristics of Paul and some of his character traits. So I would invite you to make sure you're paying attention to that and to learn from that as well. But if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you haven't been zealous like you need to be, maybe you've not been convicted at all, and you haven't been living the right way because you didn't really believe it. You just wanted people to think that you did. It's not too late to change. If the truth has convicted you this morning, don't fight it. Change. Let it change you. Give God the control. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come down and rest on you and fill you up and God's going to speak to you, because he does it through his word. But you've got to decide whether you're going to let the words of Jesus, the words of God, influence your decisions, or if you're going to let the world do that for you. And if you haven't put on Christ, maybe this is the first time you're hearing about that, and the truth interests you. If what you want is to serve God, if what you want is the truth and what's right, we're ready to help you. If you need to study more to find out what it is you need to do to become a Christian, we're willing to do that with you this morning. And if you know what it is that you need to do, and you need to follow the example of Saul and be baptized to wash away your sins, we're ready to do that this morning as well. If there's anything that we can do to help you change, to be better, we want to do that today. You know, nobody thought that Saul would have made a good Christian. Nobody. And it doesn't matter if you feel good enough for God, because that's not the point. Nobody's good enough to be saved. We need saving because we're not good enough. Surrender yourself to God this morning. We've all got a choice to make. What are you going to choose? If you're ready to make that choice this morning, please come now as we stand and sing.